When Democrats won control of the House of Representatives last year, many lawmakers said they were eager to use their newfound majority power to hold the Trump administration accountable.
You know, they who have power in Washington have all power.
Right.
And I think the American people have said they want checks and balances. The subpoenas that I want to issue would be much different than ones that what I've seen. I want to issue subpoenas that go to the very heart of our democracy and protecting that democracy.
That was Representative Elijah Cummings back in November, right after his party's midterm victory. Cummings is now the chair of the powerful House Committee on Oversight and Reform. And this Wednesday, the House Judiciary Committee is set to vote on whether to subpoena Attorney General William Barr for a full release of the Mueller report. But just how effective is a congressional subpoena? And will the White House have to comply? Here to give us some history and context and maybe even some predictions is Margaret Taylor, a senior editor at Lawfare and a fellow at the Brookings Institution. Margaret, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you so much for having me.
So this is a lesson for me, and I'm sure for some of our listeners at least. Let's take it way back. Where does Congress's subpoena power even come from? What's the history of it?
So Congress's subpoena power is really part and parcel of its general investigative and oversight powers. And while those general powers aren't articulated specifically in the Constitution, the Supreme Court has over and over again affirmed that Congress's power to investigate and do oversight is broad, and it is rooted in the Constitution. And the subpoena power is designed to effectuate that constitutional prerogative for investigation.
And does the subpoena power differ between the Senate and the House or from committee to committee?
No, it doesn't. All of the subpoenas are valid that are issued from either the House or the Senate. In this particular case, it seems like there actually might be two different committees that may be authorizing subpoenas this week. The first is, as you had mentioned earlier, Elijah Cummings' House Oversight and Reform Committee, and then the second is the House Judiciary Committee.
When a committee subpoenas the executive branch, does the White House have to respond? And if so, do they have a time in which they have to respond? What's the process?
Generally speaking, yes, they do have to respond in some fashion. Now, there is one valid way for the executive branch to say, no, I'm not going to provide the president, really, to say, I'm not going to provide that information or provide that person to testify, is by asserting something called executive privilege. A valid assertion of executive privilege is a sort of a valid way to say, no, actually, in response to this subpoena, we're not going to be providing that information. Now, the question is, who decides what is a valid assertion of executive privilege?
I was going to say, what are the parameters of executive privilege?
In the past, most presidents in the post-Watergate era have invoked it in some fashion. It has been invoked to protect sensitive or national security-related information from public disclosure. It's been asserted to protect communications that the president has with his immediate advisors. It's been asserted to protect sensitive law enforcement-related information. So there's been a variety of situations where presidents have asserted executive privilege over the years.
This current moment that we're in is hyper-political, and if the subpoenas for the Mueller report actually happen, I'm expecting some sort of showdown. But have there been other high-profile showdowns between the legislative and executive branches about how this process works?
Definitely, and there have been such showdowns actually in all of the presidential administrations in the post-Watergate era. You know, President Obama asserted executive privilege with respect to some documents related to the Operation Fast and Furious, which was a kind of a ATF investigation and gun running operation that went wrong. And so Congress subpoenaed certain documents from the Department of Justice regarding that incident. And President Obama did end up asserting executive privilege with respect to some of the documents. Now, in that case, some documents were provided, some were held back, and there ended up being an actual court case for a judge to make a decision about those documents that the president tried to hold back. And in the end, most of those documents were provided to the Congress.
Do we expect a similar fight? I know it's early to say, but do you expect a similar fight over the Mueller report, for the full Mueller report?
I think it's hard to say exactly how it turns out in the end. I view this Chairman Nadler, you know, saying that he's going to be authorized to issue the subpoenas as a way to be putting pressure on Attorney General Barr to really release as much as possible of the Mueller report. there will be quite a back and forth between the legislative and executive branches over this particular issue. And it may be the case that in the end, they can come to a fair accommodation of one another's interests.
With the House showing its willingness to use its power to take on the Trump administration, how do you think we should expect these political battles to play out? I mean, they just seem like it's we're not going to get to a place where there might be some compromise.
I think it may very well be sort of a case-by-case type of issue. With the Mueller report, I mean, it's so high profile and, you know, it's not clear to me that it's necessarily in the president's political interest to be seen as holding something back. And this may be why the president has said he does not intend to use executive privilege in the context of the Mueller report. For example, in another instance with Congressman Cummings' investigation regarding security clearances, we've seen over the past 2 years, actually, that the White House has been very reluctant and resistant to essentially turn over any information regarding those issues. And what we see out of the White House on that particular investigation is really kind of a stonewalling. And so that is one I'm watching very closely because it seems to me that Congress would have a pretty valid interest in making sure that classified information is treated in an appropriate way within the White House and that security clearances are granted and denied in an appropriate way.
Would the president be able to claim executive privilege in that instance about security clearances, given that it's already been reported that I think 24 folks were granted security clearance and there's already been a White House whistleblower in this? Like, is it too far for the president to or the White House to claim executive privilege here?
The president and the White House can go ahead and claim executive privilege with respect to something in response to a subpoena. The question is what happens after that, because that begins a discussion about whether the claim is a valid claim of executive privilege. And that will be a discussion that happens between the two branches. And potentially, if the Congress isn't satisfied with what it is getting, it can become a court battle.
Margaret Taylor is a senior editor at Lawfare, and she's a fellow at the Brookings Institution. Margaret, thanks so much.
Thank you.